Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. I want to wish all of you a very happy new year. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we continue our sermon series called that is looking at the book of 1 Peter. The word called is used five times in 1 Peter. Last week we saw we are called to be holy, separate, different, and dedicated to God. This week we are in chapter 2 to see we are called to give God praise. Verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We have been called out of the darkness of sin to announce to the world the praises of him who called us into his wonderful and beautiful light. I finished up reading Psalms this week. I encourage you to read Psalms chapters 144 to 150 this week yourselves. Those Psalms remind us of the greatness of our God. Psalm 147 verses 1 and 3 say, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting to praise him. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Even in the midst of so much chaos, uncertainty, and sickness, it is still good for our hearts and our spirits to praise God. Have a blessed week and thank you for listening.
Grace to you and peace in this new year. In Christ we have obtained an inheritance.
We have been redeemed as God's own people. Praise be to God.
Kendra Hall leads our children's time.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Since it is a new year and a new month, Pastor Russ is going to start a new sermon series on 1 Peter. And those of you that come to Rock, which we're starting again this Wednesday, there is a series on Right Now Media that's on 1 Peter, so, and it's the same cartoon characters and narrator as the 1 John series that we're doing in Rock. So kids, if you want to check that out, you guys will like that too. But I wanted to read a few of the verses that Pastor Russ is going to read today and give you kind of a kid-friendly version of, hopefully, of his sermon. The first verse is 1 Peter 1, 14, and it says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct." And then I'm going to stop there. So what that means, kids, is that we need to kind of put away our former selves and not be selfish and to try to be holy like God wants us to be holy. And you also might be wondering, well, what does holy mean? So if you were playing a game at school or in the classroom, you probably wouldn't want to be set apart or off by yourself. But in fact, that's what holy means. It means to be set apart. And we're set apart because we are God's children. So in God's terms, we actually do want to be set apart. And then verse 16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." So that means we want to try to be holy like God. We want to kind of reflect his holiness. And then going on down to verse 22, it says to love one another earnestly and from a pure heart. So what that means is Jesus died for us on the cross, and that was the ultimate form of love. And we need to try to reflect that pure love when we treat other people the way we want to be treated and kind of treat your classmates and your neighbors as your family and try to reflect God's love that way. So to sum all that up, to be holy, God wants us to look like him and to act like him in our daily lives. So let's pray. Dear God, please help me to remember who I am. I am a child of yours. Help me to reflect your holiness this week in the way I act, and help me to love others with a pure heart. Amen.
Our special music is by Stacy Frederick.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My heart forever is wandering, and Jesus be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the
Our scriptures are read by Elizabeth Ashe, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Called to be Holy.
The first scripture lesson is from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Finally, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, you do so much more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from unchastity, that each one of you know how to take a wife for himself in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like heathen who do not know God, that no man transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we solemnly forewarn you. For God has not called us for uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who give his Holy Spirit to you. The second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. Strive for peace with all men, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one will fail to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble, and by it the many become defiled. That no one be immoral or irreligious like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Stacy, for that beautiful special. If you want to turn to 1 Peter, that's where we're going to find ourselves this Sunday and all the following Sundays of January. Andy reminded me that the Brotherhood Caroling is now out there on the webpage if you all would like to watch that. And I dropped that off to different people in different nursing homes. And so we're really thankful that we got to do that. So Andy was reminding me that that's out there now, along with the different funerals that have been out there, as well as our past services too. So yeah, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter was written at a time when the Christians were under assault. They were being persecuted. They were in the mid-60 AD. A lot of people believe that the Apostle Paul had just been martyred himself, and the church was struggling with discouragement. And so Peter wrote this letter to all the Christians that were out there to encourage them, to lift them up. Nero was arresting Christians at the time, and he was having them burned in his garden as the torches to light up his garden at night. So it was a very difficult and scary time for Christians at that time. And so Peter writes this letter at this time, and it's interesting the topics that he covers in there. I don't see anywhere in there where he encourages the Christians to rally together and have political, political rallies to, go against Rome. I don't see them in there, him writing them about how bad, the Roman emperor is and what they should do to get back at him. It's interesting when I look at this letter, what Peter does encourage the people to do under persecution. And I've titled this sermon series, Called. When you read through 1 Peter, you're going to find the word called 5 times. And he calls us to a duty as Christians. When we look at the word they're called, it can be different things. It can be to call somebody by name. I know if my mom or my dad used my full name to get, they were trying to get my attention. There was something wrong, and they wanted to make sure that I knew that they were upset with me. So if they ever said, Russell Edwin, I needed to stop and pay attention to them. I know when my grandma would, want to get my dad's attention, it was Jackie Lee. And so you knew you needed to stop in your steps to find out what grandma wanted, to say or relay to them. I know sometimes, though, we get called up to our bosses. Our bosses call us into their office to give us either good news or bad news. I remember in middle school at Eldon being called into Mr. McQuarrie's office. A couple of us had been playing at lunchtime there in the lunchroom, and we were sliding a salt shaker back and forth, and one of us let it go. It fell on the ground, and it broke, and so we got hauled into the principal's office for a broken salt shaker, and I remember being scared to death, being the rebel that I was, in middle school, with the salt shaker and stuff. What was going to happen if they let my dad know what I'd done? And I remember Mr. McQuarrie looking as stern as he could, making sure that we were properly fearful and respectful of him, let us know that that salt shaker cost 50 cents. And that if each one, the both of us, could spare up a quarter, that he wouldn't tell our parents about it. And so, that saved me, but we were called into his office. But as Christians, we find out that we're called to duty. We're called to responsibility, that when we take on the name Christian, there's some things that come along with it that we need to be expecting, that we need to participate in to represent ourselves as Christians. So let's look at there at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to find that word 5 times, and I encourage you to read the book of 1 Peter this month. Short book, 5 chapters. You can get through it, several times. But you're going to find that word 5 times. And every time you find it, underline it and see what it's going to speak to us about what we're called to do. Like today, we're going to be looking at being called to be holy. Next week, we're going to be called to be a blessing. After that, we're going to be called to suffering. That's going to be a tough sermon, but it says that we're called to suffer. And then we're going to be also called out of light in the darkness. And then the last one is that we're called to eternal glory. And I can't wait for that one, because I'm skipping over, I think, one of the best parts of 1 Peter, the very first few verses. And so I'm eager to get back to that one, but we always save the best for last. But let's look at there this morning. What he's called us to is taking on the name Christian. So we'll start at verse 13. He says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word. For all people are like grass. I'm going to throw these two verses in. I won't charge anything for them. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So as we start a new year, 2021, and some people like to do resolutions, I'm not real big on that. I'm just going to try to continue to work on the things that we've put down as important things in our lives, but some people like to do that. And if I was encouraging you to take on a resolution, we'd look here to see, what is my purpose as a Christian? What am I called to do? And we see right here, number one, that he tells us in the very first verse there of 13, he says, with your being alert and fully sober, set your hope on God's grace. He says, you're called to be holy. As Christians, when we take on that name, we are to be set apart and we are to be different. He goes back to this theme all throughout the book of 1 Peter. When you skip over to chapter 4, you see there in verses 2 through 4, he uses the same theme. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. He says, when you've chosen to be a Christian, he says, you've taken on the mantle. He says, this is the job that is before us. When you've watched any of the, I watched the show called Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks and Paul Newman. It's kind of a unique story about, the mafia and how Tom Hanks is a hitman. He's with Paul Newman, and, Tom Hanks is chastising Paul Newman for the evil that he's done. And Paul Newman looks at him and says, I forget what his name is. I think it's named Mike. He says, Mike, he says, look around. He says, all that are in this room is murderous. This is the life that we've chosen to do. And as Christians, when we take on, it tells us they're not to conform any longer to the life that we live. He says, set your mind fully on the task that is ahead. He tells us not to do it to bring glory on ourselves or to be self-righteous or proud. He tells us so that we can bring glory on him. And he tells us to be holy in all that we do. Man, that's quite encompassing, isn't it? To be holy in our attitudes, in our relationships, in our work, in our finances, in our priorities, in the task that we take on to do. It says to be holy in all you do. There isn't a secret side to ourselves that we keep only for ourselves. He says when you take on the name Christian, when you've chosen God as your master, he says set your mind on holiness. But what is holiness? Many of us might have the idea that holiness, like Kendra had said, is to be set apart. It is to be different. But some of us may take that to mean that we are to be completely withdrawn from the world, maybe like living in a monastery, chanting like monks with no TV or no radio, and to live maybe like our neighbors around us here, the Amish or the Mennonites. That is one way maybe to approach holiness. But I think the scripture tells us that we are to live in the world, but not to be of the world. We are to be different, that people look at us and know that there's a difference because we've been around God and we've chosen him as our master. I remember when I moved to Eldon in third grade, and we had lived in Ozark before that. I was at three schools in 6 months because we moved from Indiana. FASCO had not completed building the factory there in Eldon, so we had to live for a few months in Ozark. So I was the new kid at Ozark, and I was the new kid at Eldon. And I remember when the last day of school at Ozark, I didn't even tell anybody I was leaving. I was tired of that. I dealt with that. Now I had to go to another school. But I remember walking into Eldon, third grade there at the old elementary school down there at Eldon. And I had kind of bloomed into a fairly decent baseball player that summer at Ozark. I don't know if, what happened there, but we had a really good season and we won the championship down there at Ozark. And they gave us all a t-shirt. And man, I was really proud of that t-shirt. And I wanted to make a good first impression when I walked in. This was like September, I think, in Eldon, and so came there into elementary school. I remember them ushering us down to my third grade teacher, I think it was Miss Strobel at the time, and took us down there, and I thought I was going to make a really good impression. I'd wear my championship t-shirt when I walked in there, but I didn't really think it all the way through, because it said on the shirt there, Pee-wee champions. And so they weren't really impressed with the championship. They started calling me Pee-wee all that time. And so it didn't have the effect that I wanted it to be. But when we read through 1 Peter, he tells us in chapter 2, and we'll talk more about that as we go on in the weeks ahead, that we are foreigners and aliens, that we live such good lives among the pagans that when they see our good deeds, that they glorify God, not us. One writer put it this way, holiness is nothing less than the conformity to the character of God. He tells us there to be holy because I'm in holy in all the things that we do. Some people may attribute holiness to just outward characteristics. Some person said it this way, don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, and don't date girls that do. All right, they're more mostly concerned with outward appearance, and that's not what holiness is. It's representative of the internal change that we've taken on in our lives, but why pursue holiness? He tells us there in verses 17 on through there, he tells us, number one, that God is holy. When you look in Revelation, you look in Isaiah, you see that all the creatures around the throne, when they are singing and praising God, what's the theme of their songs? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, that's God's nature, is holiness. Wherever he goes, he brings holiness. When Moses was at the burning bush, what did God say to Moses? He said, take off your sandals because the ground you're standing on is holy. No impurity, no evil thought at all. God is holy, righteous, and he calls us as his children to do the same thing. We see that theme through the first chapter there. He says, as obedient children, we should want to be like our Father. Then he goes on down to verse 17. He says, another reason that we want to have holiness is that our actions are going to be judged. We see later on in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5, he says, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. He tells us the things as Christians that when we take on that name, we are to pursue to be like one of his children, that we do it because he's watching. And that he wants to be proud to say, that's one of my children out there doing exactly what I want them to do. But then he continues and he talks about the price that was paid for us to have our holiness. He looks down there and he says, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or perfection. He says another reason that we should want to pursue holiness is because of the price it was paid for us to be holy. You know, I was looking through some coins. One of my daughters got me a little coin thing that I can, you know, sort my coins at and tell me how much coins I've got in there. And as I was doing that, I came across a 1941 nickel. And I thought, boy, that's got to be worth something. So, man, I Googled it real quick, and boy, found out that there's a little letter on the back of it that made it even a little bit more valuable. I think it may be worth 75 cents now after all these years of that, you know, that it's that valuable to have. And we look at valuable things around us, but there's only one price that was paid for us. Nothing else could redeem us. It was the price of Jesus' own life, a perfect life, so that we could have a relationship with a holy God. Another reason that we want holiness and pursue holiness, we read about it already earlier. Make every effort to be holy, to be different, to be set apart, to be sanctified, to be dedicated to God, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And let that sink in a second. It doesn't sound like holiness is an option. It doesn't sound like it's something I can get around to if I feel like doing it. It's something that we're called to do. And we read the other verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. But how do we pursue holiness on a daily basis? Some people might think it's just, you know, looking better on the outside. But I think too many times we look at holiness as kind of like our last option. We want God's grace, but we only want it on our terms. Only when it's beneficial to us. One writer said it this way. I got this back when I was in Bible college. It's called The Pursuit of Holiness. And he talks about how holiness should motivate us, but too many times it's an afterthought in our minds. He says, what a strange kind of salvation do they desire that care not for holiness? They would be saved by Christ and yet be out of Christ in a fleshly state. They would have their sins forgiven, not that they may walk with God in love in time to come, but that they may practice their enmity against him without any fear of punishment. See, grace doesn't come into our life to, you know, just take care of all the sins, but it should motivate us to be more like what God wants us to live our lives like. Holiness changes our lives when it starts internally. But how do we pursue it on a daily basis? He tells us there in verses 22 and 23 again. He says, now that you've been purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for each other. It comes down to obeying what God's word wants us to do. It means interacting and meditating on it and letting it change our thought process. Let it change the priorities. Let it change the things that we think about on a daily basis. And then it transitions itself in then to loving one another deeply with a love that comes from the heart. He tells us there that when we obey like children, when we do the things that God wants us to do, when we're purified through obeying the truth, we will then love one another, not just as only brothers, that phileo love, but we will love one another sacrificially, that agape love. How do you pursue holiness? You obey his word. Tells us in 1 John that to love God is to obey his commands. Number two, to love one another. What did Jesus say about that? How will they know that you're my disciples? If you love one another. And then finally, the last thing there, he says in verse 23, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I thought it was very appropriate that Stacy sang, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you read farther along in Psalm 119, you come across this verse. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to pursue holiness, you've got to interact with this scripture on a daily basis. Not just read it to accomplish, you know, a reading plan. Meditate on it where it changes the things that you think about. It changes the habits that you've lived your life by. And that's how we pursue holiness. I tell you, this past year, more than any other year in probably history, we have pursued cleanliness, haven't we? I mean, washing our hands, keeping as many germs away, hand sanitizer stations, you know, spraying everything down after we're done, you know, sitting in a certain place. We have been concerned about cleanliness, and for good reason. But God calls us to pursue holiness, to look before him pure, just like the snow that's out there. It's been beautiful, like I said, just enough to be beautiful and not too much to cause damage. As we look here at 2021, it's a good starting point for us to see what God has called us to do. But you may say, preacher, man, I've tried and I keep falling down. I keep struggling. I try, you know, try to keep doing what God wants me to do, but I keep, you know, missing the mark. This is what the writer of Proverbs 24 says, for the righteous may fall seven times, but they always rise again. And how do we do that? We do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. When the people asked Peter, what must I do? He told them two things. Repent, change your lifestyle, follow God's word, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we want to be holy, we got to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think Isaiah mentions this in his sixth chapter. He gives his personal testimony about feeling unclean before God himself. And he said this, in that year, the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another. Again, 800 years before Revelation was written, this was what Isaiah said about the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. He said, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. When the Lord touches your life with the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven, and your life is made new. Why don't we start out this new year fulfilling the purpose that God has called us to, to be holy, to be different. And people see a difference in us, and they glorify God because of it.